There's no other way. Trusting you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Welcome to Mountain State Baptist Church, Seeker Sunday School class. Are you reading the Bible every day? Praying every day? Here's a schedule. I'll get you a schedule if you want one. You don't have to read by that schedule. The banquet is actually coming up a week from Friday, I think it is, the 23rd Wednesday night. I counted how many had signed up. And that's of utmost importance that you sign the paper on the bulletin board so the preacher will know how many to cook for. I counted 42 plus the Woodses. That's going to be about 60 the way I count. It'll be a pretty good crowd. So if you have not signed up, signing the bulletin board is more important than giving me your schedule. Sign the bulletin board. Brother Butch, would you pray for us, please?
Father, we thank you for your love. Help us to be mindful of what you've done for us.
Amen. Thank you. Now, over here in this section, Brother Matthew wrote his book representing the Lord Jesus Christ as a king. Is right. Now, down through here, Mark wrote his book representing the Lord Jesus Christ as a servant. Is right. Down through here, Luke wrote his book representing the Lord Jesus Christ as a man. Is right. Then over here, Brother John wrote his book representing the Lord Jesus Christ as God. Is correct. By the way, what book are we in?
John.
That's correct. Now over here, where did Matthew start?
Bethlehem
is correct. Where did Mark start his book? Bethlehem is right. Down through here. Right, Bethlehem. Where did Brother John start his book? In the beginning. Where else? In the bosom. That's correct. Helen Keller said the Bible's the only way out of the dark. Brother Melvin said he learned more by reading the Bible than listening to people try to teach it. That's what Brother Melvin said. Now, on your handout, if you want to follow along, it's historical record, I guess that you'd call it. We hear it referred to a lot, but I thought we'd try to get a little more detail today, if you forgive me for reading to you. Lew Wallace was the governor of New Mexico over 100 years ago, and he started out to write a book against Jesus. And in the process was converted to Christianity. He got converted. He told a friend how it happened. He said, I'd always been an agnostic. Now an agnostic doesn't know. An atheist says there is no God. An agnostic says there might be, there might not be. You can't know. There's no way of knowing. Well, let me go ahead and tell you, there is a way of knowing. You can know. You can know. He used to be an agnostic. One of his friends, he says, Ingersoll, a famous agnostic, suggested, see here, Wallace, you're a learned man and a thinker. Which, by the way, down through history, the people that have troubled Christianity the most have been the learned and the educated and the thinkers. The common people normally don't bother us. Don't bother us. You just about got to go to college first. Ingersoll said, why don't you gather material and write? Which, by the way, I'm for going to college. I'm for learning everything you can. Matter of fact, we're going to be learning our whole life. This is a book of a lifetime. I'm not about to learn it yet. He said, why don't you gather material and write a book to prove the falsity concerning Jesus Christ, that no man, no such man has ever lived, much less the author of the teachings found in the New Testament. Such a book would make you famous. It would be a masterpiece, a way of putting an end to the foolishness about the so-called Christ. The thought made a deep impression on me, Lew Wallace said. And we discussed the possibility of such a book. I went to Indianapolis, my home, and told my wife what I intended. She was a member of the Methodist Church and naturally did not like my plan. But I decided to do it, began to collect materials in libraries here and in the old world. I gathered everything over that period in which Jesus Christ according to legend, had lived. Several years were spent in the work. I'd written nearly four chapters when it became clear to me that Jesus Christ was just as real a personality, a person, as Socrates, Plato, or Caesar. The conviction became a certainty. I knew that Jesus Christ had lived because of the facts. Because of the facts connected with the period in which he lived. I was in an uncomfortable position. I had begun to write a book to prove that Jesus Christ had never lived on earth. Now I was face to face with the fact that he was just as historic a person as Julius Caesar, Mark Antony, Virgil, Dante, and a host of other men who had lived in the olden days. And I asked myself, if he was a real person, and there was no doubt, was he not then also the Son of God and the capital S Savior of the world? Gradually the consciousness grew that since Jesus Christ was a real person, he was the one he claimed. I marked out the probably on my paper. He was the one he claimed to be. He also is the one he claimed to be. I fell on my knees to pray for the first time in my life. I asked God to reveal himself to me. Forgive my sins. Help me to become a follower of Christ. Toward morning, the light broke into my soul. I went into my bedroom, woke my wife, told her that I had received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. "Oh, Lou," she said, "I have prayed for this ever since you told me of your purpose to write this book, that you would find him while you wrote it." Lou Wallace did write a very famous book. It was a masterpiece, the crowning glory of his life's work. He changed the book. He was originally writing and used all of his research to write another book. Now, whoever's writing this, I think I got this from John Phillips, I'm not sure. Now, every time I watch the epic film made from that book and see Charlton Heston racing those four magnificent white horses in the amazing chariot race, I wonder how many who have seen Ben-Hur with its moving reference to Jesus. No, it was written by a man who wanted to disprove that Jesus ever existed and instead became convinced that he was the greatest, I'm going to say God, that he's God that ever lived. And it was written by a man whose life was transformed by Christ because he believed in the Lord and accepted him as the bread of life. Like our great bread chapter 6 in the book of John. Okay, that's a little sidetrack there. Something you can take home with you. Now, we're in John chapter 6, verse 28. A little bit of review here. Then said they unto him, "What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" See, there's something in man that wants to do something. We want to be good. We want to get baptized. We want to put money in the pot. We want to join up or help the old ladies across the street or something. We just want to do something religious. It's inside man to worship something. And they asked him, they said, "What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" And Jesus answered and said to them, red letters, "This is the work of God, that ye believe." Any questions? I'm having trouble understanding my Bible. Any questions? Something that the children downstairs can do. Again, Briley got right here, and her father held out his arms, and she bailed off, never hesitated. She knew he was able and capable to catch her. And all you need to do is bail off in the hands of the Father, and guess what? He will catch you. He is capable and able, and he wants to. He wants to. And not just believe anything. This is the work of God that you believe, not the newspapers, not the TV, not the Reader's Digest, that you believe on Him whom He has sent, just like Lew Wallace did. Verse 30, they said therefore unto him, what signs showest thou then that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Well, if we see, that's not believing. It's already there. If I tell you I got a new vehicle out back, you believe me? Might have, might not have. You don't know. But if you see it, then you know. There's no faith in that. No faith in that. What signs showest thou that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, and it is written, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but My Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. The bread of God is He. Any questions? I'm having trouble understanding my Bible. It says the bread of God is He. It's He. It's not the Baptist. It's not getting baptized. It's not being good. It's not behaving. It's He. For the bread of God is He that cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then they said unto Him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. Feed us every day like Moses did. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. Questions. Question. Jesus is the bread of life, of eternal life. Right. He that cometh to Me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on Me shall never be thirsty. Almost like they'd be satisfied. Almost like. Bread. Definition of bread. Sometimes we use bread in a sentence as anything edible. Sometimes bread is just food in general. Any food. Sometimes it's a mass of dough, of water and flour. Sometimes it's moist flour that's baked, but it's always, it's a support of life. I call it a necessity, a daily necessity. I like some bread in there somewhere. And bread is also something that's available for all. And the Lord is available. Almost everyone has a Bible. Everyone in the bread of life is available, readily available for anyone. It's cleansing. I use it to sop all that gravy up, every bit of it. It'll clean that plate. It satisfies. It produces growth. It does not grow on trees. It must be grown and then cut and then beat and then ground and then baked in the fire. And then it's life for one day. But this eternal bread, the Lord Jesus said you'll never thirst, never hunger again if you eat of Him, if you partake of Him. That's eternal. He said, I am the bread of life. I am the light. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. I'm the true vine. Matter of fact, He said, I'm the sign. You're looking for a sign? I'm Him. I'm it. I turned the water into wine. I healed the man at the pool of Bethesda. I saved the woman at the well. And He said, I'm your sign. But yet, in 35... Let me read it one more time. A personal response was needed. In 35, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to Me shall never hunger. And he that believeth on Me shall never thirst. Have you believed on Him? A personal response was needed. It's got to be a personal thing. It's like getting married. 2,000 years ago on the cross, the Lord Jesus said, I do accept Rick. 1974, November 16th, I said, I do accept Christ. And that made the marriage complete. We're married for eternity. I'm getting ready to go on a honeymoon. A personal response was needed. 36, the personal response is neglected. See, for 21 years I neglected it. I neglected Him. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. Don't raise your hand. But I'm just telling you, that's what I did for 21 years. About died and went to hell going to church because I didn't have Jesus. Not because I didn't go to church, because I didn't have Jesus in my heart. It's why. Some deny Him. Some argue about Him like Lou Wallace. And some believe not. Some believe not. 37. Assurance and security for those that did respond. Hallelujah. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Believers. Talking about believers. Receivers. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on His name. Believers and receivers. It's whosoever. Whosoever. Let me read 37 again. Now, election and free will are both here. They're both here. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will no wise cast out. The Father gives men to Christ, but men have to come. We have a choice. We have a choice. Men have to receive for their self. He will not save you against your will. You must come to Him. Not to me, to Him. 38's the purpose. For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of Him that sent me. God knew that many would not believe. He knew it. But He came anyhow. If you'd have been the only one, He would have came anyway. If I'd have been the only one, He would have came anyway. He knew there were going to be many rejectors. He knew that, but He came anyway. The will of God for you and me today is to come to Him. 39, the will of God. Here we go. And this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that of all which He hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of Him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on Him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. If He says He will, He will. See, He said, let us get into the ship and go to the other side. Everybody that got into the ship went to the other side. He didn't lose one. I know there's a parable about the 99. But the Lord saves 100. 100 gets in. He does not lose anyone. You can count it. The sepulcher does not have the last say. The Savior does. Sepulcher is a grave. That's not the last say. The Savior has the last say in the whole thing. God starts out with 100. He ends up with 100. He will not lose you. You can count on Him. The same one that saved you will keep you safe. You couldn't save yourself, and you can't keep yourself safe. He does it all. He does it all. All we do is trust and obey. It's really fun. It's a fun trip all the way. We're going to the other side. You just well enjoy it. I made up my mind I'm going to enjoy the trip. I'm going. I might as well. I'm going to rest in Him. Trust and obey. My heart is fixed on trusting and obeying, for there's no other way. 41, the cause for the hate. The cause for the loathing. The Jews then murmured at Him. Isn't that crazy? They murmured at Him. I like the word murmur. I just like to say it. M-U-R, murmur. Murmur. They murmured at Him. Murmured. The reason is He claimed to be from heaven. They knew that meant, back then, they knew that meant that He was saying He was God. They couldn't take it. They couldn't stand it, having God with them. 42, the conduct and the contempt. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph? See, they're saying, no, He's not the son of God. He's the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know. How is it then that He saith, I came down from heaven? Well, let me tell you right up front, He's not the son of Joseph. He's not the son of Joseph. He's the virgin-born son of Mary. Doctors didn't understand that till about 100 years ago, but there's no blood passes from mother to baby. Only oxygen and food and waste. All the blood comes from the father. If that wasn't so, they could give the mother a blood test, and whether it's A positive or O negative, the baby would be the same, but they can't do that. That's not the way it's done. They wait till the baby's born and take the blood test, because all the blood comes from the Father. And baby Jesus, we just got through celebrating, was born of a virgin. And therefore that is God's blood that was shed on the cross on that first Easter day. And that blood can save. That blood can make Rick Brother Rick. That blood will save your soul and wash away your sin. There never has been any God's blood before that. There will never be any more God's blood after that. That blood can save, and that's all that can save. Nothing else can save. That was 42, I think. The conduct and the contempt. He claimed God was his father, and they knew his family. They said, "Nah." Nah, the Christ man, the virgin birth. See, Joseph's not his father. 43, the condemnation. Jesus therefore answered and said to them, "Murmur not among yourselves." Sometimes they called him mad. Sometimes they said Beelzebub. Sometimes they said, "You're demon possessed. You're crazy." No, he's God. 44, the lack of salvation. "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." See, this good news, this gospel's for whosoever and whatsoever. Hold your finger there. Let's just back up to 5:4. "An angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water, and whosoever..." Then first, after troubling the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. Whosoever you are this morning, whatsoever your problem is, I come to tell you he can take care of it. But it's not whensoever. If he's dealing with you right now, you better do something. You can't say, "I'm going to come back tonight and get saved." It don't work that way. It's not whensoever. It's whosoever, it's whatsoever, but it's when he draws you. It's when. We're willing to work. We're willing to give. We're willing to join up. We're willing to get baptized. But we're not willing to say that we're helpless, hopeless, ruined sinners. See, I was ruined. I was done for. It's going down for the third time. I was just about to lose my mind. Nobody in their right mind wants to go to hell, do they? That's what Joe Brown says. Let's look at 12:32. We're depraved sinners. "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." That's when you realize that, might be a good when time then. Verse 45, back to chapter 6. The love for salvation. "It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me." Have you heard? You love salvation? You love the Lord? Love His book? God's Word? If you listen, you will come to Christ. See, I didn't know. I didn't understand. I was D-U-M-M. M. 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 46. "You must believe on Him." I get to believe on Him. I don't have to. I get to. It's a great privilege. Great privilege. 46. "Not that any man has seen the Father, save he which is of God." He has seen the Father. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Present tense, right now, believeth right now, questions right now. I am the bread of life. Red letters, the Lord talking. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. Red letters, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Coming up in Easter time real soon. Life from the loaves of salvation. The Old Testament bread did not ward off death. Everyone in Moses' camp died. The man, everyone that ate manna, it kept them alive for one day. But everyone that ate manna died. Nevertheless, he says, I will. I will. The bread of life. 52 and 53 is a lack of comprehension. It's running around everywhere. You can see it everywhere. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how? How? They didn't comprehend. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said to them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Now he's talking about believing and receiving, and it's obvious because he's standing right there. It could not be literal. He's standing right there. He's standing right there. Then the result's going to be, in verse 54, there's going to be some eternal life. Whoso eateth of my flesh and drinketh of my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. And then there's going to be some satisfaction, verse 55. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. We weren't real busy yesterday. Sam's family was, but we met Sam and had lunch, Kim and I and Sam. And I'm going to go ahead and tell you, I was satisfied. I was about that far satisfied. There's going to be some satisfaction going here. Verse 56, there's going to be some fellowship. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. Then you can read the Bible every morning, pray every morning. Pray and talk to him. Read the Bible and he talks to you. 57, now there's some purpose to your life. Gene Thomas says, I don't have a purpose. Well, he does. He does more accidentally than I do on purpose. Verse 57, there's going to be some purpose. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. Did you read the Bible this morning? Did you pray? Then verse 58, there's going to be some energy come out of this bread. We got through eating, then I was able to do something. This is that bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. He was equating eating and drinking with believing and receiving. It was a figure of speech. A figure of speech. They were used to figures of speech. Let's look at one of them in Deuteronomy 8. Deuteronomy 8:3. And he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. It's a figure of speech. You believe it all this morning? You believe every word? It's a whole lot more fun if you do. Now, you don't have to. I'm just telling you, it's more fun. More fun. I told you about the rifleman. Lucas took Luke, the boy, to the circus. And they had the wild man from Borneo. And they went in, paid a quarter, went in, looked at him. And they come out, and he said, Paul, is he really from Borneo? He said, I don't know, son, but it's a lot more fun if you believe it. I'll just go ahead and tell you this morning, it's a lot more fun if you believe it. I just go ahead and believe it. It's me. Jeremiah 15:16. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. I'm talking about a figure of speech. And see, they understood it. I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy. What about that right there? And the rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. That's a big deal right there. That's not a little thing. That's a big deal. How about Ezekiel 2? Ezekiel 2, starting in verse 8. But thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious, like that rebellious house. Open thy mouth and eat, and I will give thee. And when I looked, behold, a hand was sent unto me, and lo, a roll, a scroll, like those Old Testament scrolls you've seen the picture, a roll of a book was therein, and he spread it before me, and it was written within and without, and there was writing therein, lamentations and mourning and woe, and Ezekiel ate it up. A figure of speech. They're used to it, and you are too. We use them all the time. I'm not going to give you examples right now, but a figure of speech. Religion has twisted this doctrine. Some religions go on transubstantiation, and they say when you take communion, like we're supposed to tonight, that the substances really turn into the blood of Jesus literally, and bread turns into the body of Jesus literally. Well, that's not true.
Right.
That's not true. It's a figure of speech, if you will. They were fighting to keep their religion. He ignores their mistakes.
Right.
You don't have to answer everything. You don't have to answer everything. It's not literal because he was right there with them. It wasn't literal. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for writing it down in Christ's name. Amen.